You remember the buddy system. Every summer field trip. Every time you jumped into the deep end. Every time you got on a roller coaster. You buddied up. And though that may all seem like 100 summers ago, wouldn't it be nice to have that feeling of buddying up one more time? Because life is always better with a buddy.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's most probably around about 5 a.m. and you're listening to All the War to End All Wars Did Not Work Radio, WBAI New York.
Now I know we're not in Kansas.
Damn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
And this morning we're going to talk about various things, and you can find out a little bit more about what we're talking about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll find a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen, and you click on that, and you will be brought to the web page for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seemed to be working all right as we recorded this program. This is our 155th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story of the past week throughout the various multiverses and dimensions was that we are still holding at the gigantic number of 123 followers on Twitter or X or something else they'll rename it as next week. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, December 13th at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. That will be the first meeting of the 13th WBAI local station board. It might be a wild time, given some of the things that people are saying on the LSB mailing list. We had a local station board meeting this past Wednesday night. It was the last meeting of the 12th WBAI LSB. So that was the 12th. The 13th is coming up. Is that going to be an unlucky number, LSB? I don't know. So that was the last meeting of the 12th WBAI local station board. And then we had an objection about the phrasing of an agenda item. And then we were supposed to have had a report from the station's general manager. But his phone didn't work right. And after some time was spent on trying to get it to work, we went on to the next agenda item, which involved going into executive session. And as we tried to do that, we were told that the general manager was trying to get on the call. And then the discussion turned to the general manager needing 15 minutes to get on, and another local station board member had to get on the call too. A motion to go into executive session was mentioned, but not made. And then we went to another agenda item. But then the general manager suddenly got on the call and started delivering his report instead. There were questions and back and forth and discussion about his report. We never did get to that executive session. The local station board is supposed to do an annual management evaluation, but we seem to have lost that in this agenda mess. So I guess we ain't doing one this year, maybe. Who the hell knows what's going on? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, their website isn't giving us much information. It hasn't been giving us information about COVID-19 in America. And this week, they appear to be not giving us any new numbers at all. The numbers regarding deaths in America from COVID-19 are the same now as they were for the program last week. I guess I'd need to look into what's happening with the CDC website more deeply. I don't know. Maybe they just decided to stop. The pandemic is clearly not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We have both gotten our new shots because we don't want to get this disease. And so we're as bulked up against COVID-19 and influenza as we can get. We have a program note. We are preempted for a fundraising special next week. We are scheduled to return on November 25th, so we should wish you all an upcoming Merry Thanksgiving right now. A further note is that we are recording this program in our bedroom instead of in our living room. We're having to do this because the toner cartridge on the printer ran out of tone. And so we can't print out anything and bring it into another room. This means we're having to keep track of things by looking at computer monitors. So we're hoping there aren't any extra noises in this recording, like our neighbors fighting, there are many cats jumping around and making noise, and doors slamming very loudly. We also hope that we're not sounding too distant because we're not at our usual positions at the microphones. We can't drag in the table that we use. and I have to be able to see the monitor to keep track of things, and we have to do timing differently. There's a lot of stuff that's different here. We had all this set up for the past 3.5 years now, and it worked out halfway decently, I think. Our sound isn't so bad. Right now, on this program, we may not have the best sound in the world. I think we have acceptable sound, I think, but no telling if maybe it's going to be a little distant or something like that. We hope to have a toner cartridge in the coming week, and by November 25th, I'm hoping that we'll be able to print out stuff and bring everything into our fabulous, well-appointed studio in our living room. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. And then this next piece here is something I really wanted to get on the air and say something about. After our last program had aired last Saturday morning, I read about a guy named F.L. Bubba Copeland, who was the mayor of Smith's Station, Alabama, and he was also the pastor at the First Baptist Church of Phoenix City, which is a town that's nearby. It seems that in late October, the Alabama right-wing news site 1819 News published a long report about Copeland's, quote, secret life, unquote, including screenshots of social media accounts operated by Mayor Copeland, where he was showing himself posing as Brittany Blair Summerlin, quote, a transitioning transgender curvy girl who loves smiling clothes and shoes, unquote. Copeland had apparently posted pictures of himself wearing different outfits, including some in which he wore women's underwear. He also commented on other posts encouraging trans people to go on hormone therapy. After this piece by the 1819 News organization, Mayor and Sky Pilot Copeland spoke to his congregation about these revelations, and he apologized for, quote, any embarrassment caused by my private and personal life, unquote. He added the incident would not change his devotion to family and, quote, to serving his city and his church, unquote. But the publication Alabama Baptist reported that state Baptist leaders on Thursday had issued a statement expressing, quote, serious concerns regarding Copeland's, quote, alleged unbiblical behavior, unquote. I think people cross-dress in the Bible. You've got that going on in the Bible. The Bible also has people murdering each other, raping people, putting people into slavery and keeping them there, and doing all sorts of things for which today they would, of course, all be arrested, at least in some places. So, oh, unbiblical behavior. What nonsense. The higher-ups in the Baptist State Convention and Baptist State Board of Missions wrote in a statement, quote, we are praying for the leaders of the church family as they seek to determine the truth concerning these accusations, unquote. Jesus H. Christ, what a statement. And they also wrote, quote, as the people of God, we pray for the pastor and his family as well, unquote. Well, that's mighty white of them to put it that way, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, we're gonna look into these horrifying, unbiblical accusations against this guy because he put on some underwear that we don't think he should be wearing. And, oh, yeah, we're also praying for him and his family. Yeah, sure we are. Yeah, that's right. Oh. The Alabama Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, which was related to the church where Copeland was the pastor, issued a statement that said, quote, Mr. Copeland does not serve in any leadership capacities within Alabama CBF, CBF being a Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and, quote, this would appear to be a matter between pastor and church, unquote. It should be a matter of his own. So I figured, seeing this, that I might talk about all of this on this program. And so I was thinking about, you know, how to talk about this and closety stuff and mean-spirited right-wing anti-gay stuff. And then a day later, there was another story. It turns out that the police in Lee County, Alabama, were asked to perform a welfare check on Mr. Copeland. The cops found him, and then they started slowly following him around in his car. So after a bit, Mr. Copeland pulled over, got out of his car, took out a handgun, and killed himself with it. Wow. You know, internalized hate can kill. This isn't the first time something like this has happened. There were instances in the throughout history, of course, but in the early 50s, you had Red Lines, which was a stupid, disgusting thing where this guy was putting out a publication where he was accusing people of being communists. And, of course, communist included homosexual. That's the way they think. And meanwhile, of course, the Communist Party is saying, yes, homosexuality, we condemn it as a disease of capitalism. So if you're gay, you're caught between these two warring ideologies, each of which wants to kill you. And there were suicides then, too, both because people were being called communists, whether they were or not, and because people were being outed as gay, whether they were or not. So this recalls that kind of thing. But really, this is terrible stuff. I mean, I've seen this kind of behavior before. I mean, it is probably hypocritical, I'm assuming, because if he's in with the Baptists in Alabama, for Christ's sakes, he's probably done enough preaching against gay stuff on his own. But certainly the Baptist church is viciously anti-gay, anti-everything. And so, Jesus Christ, I mean, I was thinking, oh boy, here's going to be an example of this guy who's caught in this. And, you know, who should give a bleep if he wants to dress up in women's underwear and call himself a curvy girl? I mean, I've seen pictures of him, and I don't think anybody's going to be thrilled with his looks. I don't think anybody's going to be extremely attracted to him or anything. And then, of course, the next day or two, there's this story of where he has committed suicide, because obviously all of these various people have managed to start making statements about him. And yeah, this 1819 News website is largely to blame here. On the one hand, you know, they probably told the truth about him. On the other hand, I haven't seen the actual article, but I would not be surprised if they were condemnatory and awful about it. So this is a terrible thing. And if you are having thoughts about killing yourself, please consider calling the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988. It's sort of like 911 for suicide. Just dial 988, and you can talk to somebody there about your possible interest in checking out. If you're a gay, lesbian, LGBT plus infinity kid, and you're having thoughts along those lines, which really happens quite a bit, please consider calling the Trevor Lifeline at 866-488-7386 or text the word START, S-T-A-R-T, to 678-678. And, yeah, I mean, I remember, it was 50 years ago, I think, a study came out that was showing that about half of the kid suicides, and kids start killing themselves like 8 or 9 years old, and they count this going up to, I think it was 19 or 20, about half of them were because the kids were concerned that they were homosexual. And again, this was 50 years ago. You know, the deal is, we know that half the people in the world aren't LGBT plus infinity. They're not gay or lesbian or whatever. And so that means there are a hell of a lot of straight kids killing themselves because they think, oh, no, I'm gay. Oh, I got to kill myself. This is terrible stuff. And it goes on, and so again, 988 or 866-488-7386 or text START to 678-678. And yeah, you know, let's try to avoid killing ourselves, and when it gets really bad, try to get through those crucial 2 minutes. The R. Paul Martin theory of suicide is there is most of the time. I mean, you know, you can't. Some people are completely out of their minds, and I don't know what that's about. But for a lot of the time, there's about a 2 minute window where people get really down and they can do it if you can distract yourself or keep yourself somehow not staying in that head for those 2 minutes, you got a goddamn good chance of living through whatever the hell the experience is you're dealing with. So there's my several cents. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. This program is airing on November 11th, 2023. And flash! World War I has ended 115 years ago, but 115 years ago today. Yeah, November 11th, 1918 at 11 o'clock in the morning. So while you're listening, if you're listening to this live, you have more than 5 hours before it goes. However, it was, I think, French time that they did it. So by now, right around now, it was probably ending. And if you ever watched the movie All Quiet on the Western Front, the guy is reaching out for the butterfly right now. So, the Treaty of Versailles was actually done quite a while later. The Treaty of Versailles got signed on June 28th, 1919. So it's quite a number of months after the shooting officially stopped in World War One. World War One lasted for 4 years, 3 months, and 2 weeks. The United States of America was actually a belligerent in that war for about 5 months. However, the Americans made a difference because the European powers had been fighting for just short of 4 full years. They were exhausted. Their manpower was heavily depleted. They had done a lot of wreckage to their own infrastructure, whereas the Americans, they were fresh troops. They were also green, which is, you know, not so hot in a war. You want grizzled combat veterans in your line, as opposed to guys who are saying, golly, I wonder what this will be like. And so you have the Americans coming in and making a big difference. And what happened in 1917, of course, was the Germans launched their secret weapon. A failed chess player named Ulyanov, who called himself Lenin. And so the Germans took their secret weapon, Lenin, and they shoved him into the Russian Empire. And the Soviets and the Germans after that denied they ever did that. And then, of course, decades later, absolute proof came out that they did it on purpose and they knew all about it. And so Lenin went in to Russia, which was having a revolution, and he and his boys took over and said, we're now the majority and we're taking over and it's the Soviet Union and we're communists and we're not going to engage in this capitalistic war, so we're pulling out. And they signed the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, which with the German Empire. And that took huge numbers of German Empire troops off their eastern front where they'd been fighting with Russia. And they shoved all of those troops into the western front. And they made a big push because they knew that the Americans were coming into the war. And in April 1917, America did enter the war. And so they said, we got to defeat the Allies, primarily the British and French, before the Americans get here, because they recognized the ability of America to have such a population and to be able to produce war material at a higher rate than they could. And so they really went after everybody for 1918. It was really a big push. And, oh, there were gigantic things done in 1918. Luckily, the Allies held out until the Americans came up to bolster the line and made the difference. And Kaiser Wilhelm II said, well, you know, I'm the great warrior chief. And we're going to fight to the death here. But we're fighting to your death, you stupid peons, not mine. I'm going to pack up, what was it, 41 train cars of loot from the German Empire, and I'm going to go heading off to Holland. So long, suckers. Here's an empire for you. And he left, and he went to Holland. And also, after the peace was signed and all that, the Queen of the Netherlands, which is Holland, the Queen of the Netherlands said, oh, no, he has asylum with us. Well, you know, it's debatable that maybe since everybody had so many troops over there, they should have just said, you have 48 hours to cough up Wilhelm II, or we're going to come in and get him. And we're going to kill anybody who gets in our way. Because this son of a bitch is responsible for more than 10 million deaths in Europe. They could have done that. But, you know, we don't want to offend the Queen Wilhelmina. So they just let it go with that. Fast forward 20 years later, 1940. Queen Wilhelmina is saying, oh, please, Britain, let me come over there and live. The Germans are coming in through the windows, and they're killing all of us. Churchill said, you dirty scumbag. But politics is politics. Yeah, you can come over here and be the great and wonderful government in exile of the Netherlands for whatever the hell that's worth. And so, yeah, politics. Anyway, so World War One ended 115 years ago. And, oh boy, it was quite a thing. The world had never seen anything like it. And, you know, this is Veterans Day in the United States, but it's various other things in other countries. And it was Armistice Day here, because that was when the armistice was signed for November 11th, 1918, and they stopped shooting. And so it was called Armistice Day in a lot of places. What's it called in Canada?
It is called Remembrance Day.
Yeah. So that they can remember what happened. And then they can remember more, but it happened again. And, you know, so we had the Treaty of Versailles, and it ends World War One, and it basically helps to start the career of a minor politician in the German Empire named Adolf Hitler. And he goes on from there, and, well, you've heard that story before. But anyway, this is the 115th anniversary of the end of the shooting for World War One. World War One did not just produce millions of casualties and some rather ridiculous politics, but there was some art related to it. And Pickles of the North here is going to read us a little bit of poetry related to this. Remember, in those days, you did not have TV and did not have radio. The movies were silent black and white movies that did some stuff, but, you know, silent movies were not so compelling, although they could do something. But you didn't have the stuff we have today, so the written word was very important. And poetry was something people paid attention to. So, Pickles of the North, take it away.
Yes, our Paul. And the thing is, when this war started, people had the idea that it wasn't going to last very long.
Yeah.
And I know your grandpa, one of your grandpas, fought in World War One, the Great War. And three of my granduncles, two on my dad's side and one on my mom's side, fought. And it was pretty awful. But they all came back. But so many did not. Here's a poem written by A.E. Housman. It's entitled, "Here Dead Lie We Because We Did Not Choose." And it says, First World War. "Here dead lie we because we did not choose to live and shame the land from which we sprung. Life, to be sure, is nothing much to lose, but young men think it is, and we were young." And this is in a book called War and the Pity of War. It's a very good book. I got this like 20 years ago, I think. It covers many, many poems from many wars written like over the past 2,000 years, so it's very interesting. But here's the most optimistic poem in the book, and it's by Siegfried Sassoon. I don't know too much about him, Arpal.
I'll tell you in a second.
Okay. And it's called Everyone Sang, End of the First World War. "Everyone suddenly burst out singing, and I was filled with such delight as prisoned birds must find in freedom, winging wildly across the white orchards and dark green fields, on and out of sight. Everyone's voice was suddenly lifted, and beauty came like the setting sun. My heart was shaken with tears, and horror drifted away. Oh, but everyone was a bird, and the song was wordless. The singing will never be done."
And that's a pair of gay poets. Siegfried Sassoon was much more famous because he became a famous poet in World War One. He was in it. And he was an officer in World War One, and he was decorated. He also was a little nuts because he went on missions to attack the Germans. And at one point, he went out and had some hand grenades and a gun, and having a couple of other guys with rifles cover him, he cleared about 60 Germans at a trench. And apparently, he was ferocious because he scared them. And then, when he scared them out, he sat down and read a book of poetry in the trench. He was almost court-martialed for that because, you know, they said, you cleared a trench. We've been trying to do that. And he didn't tell anybody about it. And eventually, the Germans just came back, you know, because he left. And nobody followed up on it. And so he did things like that. He was very soured on the war after a while. He got a bunch of medals, and he was very famous. He got poems published in places. He had been a poet before the war, and then the topics he chose for the war made him really famous. And so that's how that worked. And he was also gay, bisexual. He ended up marrying a woman after a while. He had a either extremely close other gay male friend or lover, we don't know which, during World War One. And that guy's name is Owens. He was killed in World War One. And you can read poetry by Siegfried Sassoon that really reflects, you know, how he was kind of breaking down for all this. Obviously, Sassoon had PTSD. Sassoon had an insane amount of PTSD. That's what can make you do stupid suicidal things, like take out a trench or sit in a chair in the open while rockets are falling around you and just holler short because you're going to be leaving in a couple of weeks. Yeah, if one of those goddamn rockets doesn't come too close. Yeah, people do that. I was also a gay poet and a soldier at one point in my life about, 54 years ago. So, yeah. Jesus Christ. Anyway, here's another poem. And this straight guy, in fact, died during World War One. He died of pneumonia. Pickles is going to read this famous poem.
Yes, it's very famous. He was Canadian, and his name was John McCrae. And he wrote a poem that you've probably heard before, and it's called In Flanders Fields. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. And that's my mother's favorite poem.
Uh-huh. And, of course, although World War One, the war to end all wars, ended 115 years ago, we all know it didn't stop wars. In fact, we've got two rather big wars going on right now. One really big one and one much smaller one, which is getting a great deal of attention. So, yeah, this is the way human beings are. Human beings are awful. Yeah, I guess we could put this all under one of our segments, which we refer to as People Stink. Because we've got wars. You've got ancient Greek poems about wars in there. And, yeah, human beings are just going to do this. It's the way we are. And one of the things that's interesting is men are evolving. Some years ago, it was noticed that the genomes of men, when they started being able to look at genomes, the genomes of men were getting a bit different, and they were changing. And the first thing people thought of was men are heading for extinction. There won't be any men left in a while because women are fairly steady. Men, there's this change going on in the male genome. And they've looked at this and looked at this. Right now, one of the, what I think is most cogent thoughts about it is men are evolving to survive in civilization better. Because it was useful to have men being these roaring, monstrous, you know, the killers of everything. Because in the ancient world, that's what you had to do every day to stay alive. And if you didn't pass on your genes. Whereas now, if you're like that, you're more likely to end up in prison and not reproducing quite as much. Although some guys who commit crimes, you know, have huge numbers of children. We can only hope that they improve on their parents. In any event, it is possible maybe sometime thousands of years from now, human males will evolve and will have at least fewer wars instead of this constant drumbeat, as they use a hackneyed phrase here, the constant wars that go on and on and on. Plus, of course, there are the conflicts that are not at the level of a war, which we have every goddamn day. Sometimes on the subway, some on boards, sometimes, you know, just driving. Maybe it's hopeless, but maybe it isn't. Or maybe it's hopeless for those of us who are breathing right now, but not hopeless for people maybe a couple thousand years from now.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
And there's a story in the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation website about the discovery of what is now considered the oldest black hole anybody's found. And a black hole is, of course, a massive thing. Basically, a lot of stuff gets together and gravity squeezes it down. And there's so much stuff that it gets squeezed and squeezed to the point where it becomes a point. It has no measurable size, but it has a gigantic amount of mass in it. And because it has a gigantic amount of mass and it's so small, it produces this singularity. And we've all heard about black holes before and some of the weird things about them. And that singularity has this super-duper intense gravitational field. And that's the first part of a black hole. The second part of a black hole is something called the event horizon. That's the place in space where if you're on one side of that little dividing line, so to speak, you're just out here in the universe with us. And if you're on the other side, you're in the black hole. And if light gets into that event horizon, it never escapes. The escape velocity needed to get out of the black hole is higher than the speed of light. And so any light entering it, it's stuck in there. That's why it's called a black hole, because you can't see it. On the other hand, the third part of most black holes is called the accretion disk, which is where having so much gravity, it attracts other things and stuff comes from every direction. And owing to the law of conservation of angular momentum, everything is getting funneled in and it's having to somehow lose energy to fall in to the black hole and fall into the event horizon. And so stuff crashes together and things crash together in a way that is crashier than anything else in the universe. And so you have this thing that is just a monstrous gravitational field. And you know, and if you see it, if you could see it, it would just be this black disc moving along. It's spherical, usually, spherical, but you're only going to see a black disc because there's no relief on it. It does not reflect light. And so it would, and again, how you would see it would be all the stuff that's crashing around right outside it crashes so thoroughly that it releases a great deal of light and probably heat, some of which escapes in our direction, so we can see it. And so they say they have found the oldest one, and this one is estimated to be 13.2 billion years old. Now, the universe is only about 13.77 billion years old. So this thing formed in maybe less than 500 million years, which is 500 million years. That's a gigantic amount of time. No. To make something this big is rather weird and not expected. And one of the things they're suspecting about it is, the scientists are, it's in a galaxy, by the way. It's at the center of a galaxy. And just as our supermassive black hole is at the center of our galaxy, our supermassive black hole is puny compared to this monster. And this black hole is one that they think formed on its own. And again, this is in the very early universe, so there isn't that much stuff forming yet. It takes a while for things to fall together. And they think that gas clouds came together and shrank and eventually became a black hole, and then it sucked in other gas clouds and made more black holes, and that it became a supermassive black hole on its own without much of anything near it, and then it merged with a galaxy. And, oh boy. And so now this supermassive black hole is a part of a galaxy. One of the odd things about this super duper massive black hole is it weighs somewhere between 10 to 100% of the mass of all the stars in its galaxy. This is unusual. In the Milky Way galaxy, the black hole at the center of this galaxy only makes up about 0.1% of the mass of the galaxy. So this thing was gigantic and odd and formed at a time when a lot of people say it shouldn't have formed like that. And what they used to deal with this was they used the Chandra X-ray telescope and the Next Generation telescope, which is unfortunately named after a homophobe. And they looked at it, and it absolutely confirms that it's a black hole and that it is gigantic and that it happens in the extremely, extremely early universe. Again, it's less than 500 million years after the Big Bang. They're saying about 470 million years. Okay, maybe they can be that precise. That's a possibility. And so we've got this thing that formed then, and part of this is a mystery of how do you get something that big forming so early? And scientists have to work on that a bit. Scientists have to work on that a bit because it's something unusual, and there's going to be a lot of conjecture and back and forth about it. But wow, 13.2 billion years ago. And so, of course, we're seeing light that started its journey toward us. We're seeing X-rays that started its journey toward us 13.2 billion years ago. That's old stuff, folks. So, wowee. This is very interesting for the cosmological questions it raises. And people are going to be studying this for quite a while.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Here comes the Back of the Book BAI pitching train chugging its way into your radio. Yes, we're inside your radio. All right. This is WBAI New York, and what we're doing is pitching. Why do we pitch? We pitch because we have bills to pay, and there isn't any such thing as a free lunch for a radio station. We have to pay our bills. We have all sorts of bills. We have people who work here and have to be paid. We have rent on the studios that has to be paid. We have to pay for various services at the transmitter site, and where, you know, there's our transmitter there, and it gets multiplexed into the big antenna at 4 Times Square. We have to pay for all of that. We have to pay an electricity bill. We have phone bills up the wazoo. We have all sorts of bills we have to pay. And we don't have commercials, you'll notice. We don't sell you Chevys. We aren't selling you various other kinds of things. How we do this is we are listener sponsored, and we say this is listener sponsored, non-commercial, WBAI New York. And that's not just a slogan. We are listener sponsored. So what we have to do is we have to ask you to cough up some dough for us. And we ask you, the listeners, to sponsor us. The way you do this is you call 1-212-209-2950 and you say, yeah, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. 1-212-209-2950. We need to hear from you. And so, yes, you become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. What does it mean? BAI Buddy is the name of our sustaining membership program here at WBAI. And what happens is you call that number and you give them your credit card or debit card number and you tell them how much you want to donate monthly to WBAI. So, yeah, that's it. A sustaining member is a BAI Buddy, which is someone who donates to WBAI automatically on a monthly basis. 1-212-209-2950 is the important thing for you to get up and call that number and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And again, it's a sustaining membership. You can donate $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you want to, and you'll be helping WBAI to survive. We have a lot of bills, and we need to pay them. And we haven't paid all of them. And if we continue to not pay all of them, we are going to, we could go away. That could happen. 1-212-209-2950. That's something we need you to call right now. If you like these unusual overnight programs, these programs you're not hearing on other radio stations, well, the only way you can keep doing that is to get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950, tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and give them all that information that they need. And also, of course, you can make a one-time donation. You can say, I want to just make a one-time donation. Same number, 1-212-209-2950. And you say, okay, I want to make this one-time donation. It can be $10 or more, whatever amount you want, above $10. And they'll be glad to accept it. 1-212-209-2950. And oh boy, I hope that people call that number now. That's been it for Back of the Book. Coming up next is
Everything Old is New Again, again with David Kenny.
Again. And again, we are going to be preempted next week, so we will be back here at 5 o'clock in the morning on November 25th. And so, Merry Turkey Day to all of you, because we're not going to be on until after Turkey Day is over. Go enjoy all the turkey you can. Be very glad that World War I ended, even though we still got wars. And above all, remember what that wishing things would get better Dormouse said.
Now, this ain't like the bull they teach you in school, you know, stuff you ain't never gonna need. This is something really important. I'm gonna teach you.
Mambo!
Yeah! Let's go. Follow me, okay? Okay. Now, first, take your left leg, put it out like this. Come on.
Okay, folks, if you're here, you know what's up. WBAI 99.5 Con Sabor Latino is holding a fundraiser in the middle of November, November 15th, Wednesday, November 15th. Remember the day and show up and support your música, your cultura, tu gente. Dale, Con Sabor Latino, let's do this Wednesday, November 15th at SOB's 204 Varick Street. Show up, step up, represent.
Never slows down. It can be tough to keep up with everything. That's where WBAI City Watch comes in, Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock. I'm your host, Jeff Simmons.
And I'm Carlos Benchaca. And each week on City Watch, we try to make sense of it all, bringing on our policymakers, advocates, experts, and authors to understand the stories behind the headline. So grab your café con leche, turn your dial to 99.5 FM WBAI, or stream us on WBAI.org. Levántate. Wake up with us on Sunday mornings with me and Jeff Simmons, and get your news on.
I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Get ready for the African Diaspora International Film Festival 2023, November 24 to December 10. Experience award-winning films, lively Q&As, and catered receptions. Come discover MK, Mandela's Secret Army, and historical drama Hope of Escape. For more information, visit NYADIFF or call 212-864-1760. ADIFF, where Black life matters. November 24 to December 10. Don't miss it.
BAI lover. Imagine a BAI PR team that every week would place articles in the left media about BAI. Or a team that creates an Each One Reach One promo campaign to increase our membership. Or a team that reaches out for grants and major donors. We can do it, but we need a real infusion of people power, a grassroots volunteer effort. A key person in all of this would be a volunteer coordinator. So this is a call for volunteer coordinator. If you can volunteer 10 to 20 hours a week, have a vision, can recruit volunteers, can communicate effectively, and want to expand BAI's reach, then call at 212-209-286.